Luke today, and that is trouble. I think we could all nod at that one. We're all fairly familiar with trouble, and the title, as titles have become a thing recently, the title of this message is When Trouble Comes. Okay, not if trouble comes, when trouble comes. And the question that I'd like to raise, very often you hear when people are in trouble or circumstances suddenly bombard them or there's some terrible news, the first question that some people ask is, where is God in this? Why has God allowed this? And I want to turn that around and say, the question we should be asking ourselves is, where are we when the trouble comes? Where are we? Not where is God, because God doesn't move. God doesn't leave the situation when trouble comes. He knew it was coming anyway. No, where are we when trouble comes? You know, Jesus stated in John chapter 16 that in the world you will have trouble or tribulation. He says, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. Okay, so we should not be surprised when trouble comes, but how often it is that we actually are. Suddenly something goes belly up and, oh, wow, why has this happened, you know, etc. And it's good for us to ask the question why, obviously, because we can perhaps seek to address it, but we shouldn't be surprised when trouble comes. Trouble will come, but our reaction to that trouble is the critical thing. And I want to read some scriptures. For us as believers, don't be surprised when trouble comes, when afflictions come, when issues or problems arise. No, let's turn to the Word. And I'm so pleased because John said one or two things that I wanted to share today at the very beginning. These are familiar scriptures. Some of them are the experience of David, and we're going to learn again this week, like we did last week from Jeff, from David's experience. Okay, because David was a man who had a heart after God, but he also knew quite a bit of trouble. Okay, so first scripture is from Psalm 46. You don't need to turn to these. You'll be familiar with most of them. But God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That just trips off the tongue, really, doesn't it? But actually, that's quite hard. When trouble comes, that's usually the first thing. People panic. What is panic? Panic is fear. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And it goes on to say, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The next psalm is from Psalm 61. And thank you, Ruth, for sending this scripture on the prayer group this week. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Hallelujah. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waits patiently for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Hallelujah. And Psalm 91. He who dwells, or she who dwells, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Goes on to say, verse 14, this is the Lord now speaking about those who take refuge in God, those who set their love upon him. So God says this, of us, if that describes us, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him or her in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. I will be with them in trouble. So God there is saying that if we take our refuge in him, if we set our love upon him as we do, then he will be with us in trouble. It doesn't say you'll have it all so easy, there'll be no problems, everything will be smooth sailing. No, no, no. He says that when trouble comes, he will be with us. And there's one other scripture I want to read, also from Proverbs, as John read from Proverbs earlier on. And it's a song I've been humming to myself this week. And it is this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So the question is, when trouble comes, what's our reaction? Do we run into the name of the Lord for refuge? Do we turn to him and seek him and cry out to him and stand on his word? Or do we question him? And do we say, where are you, God? What's going on here? And when I'm saying this, this is not to be critical if we have done that in the past. It's not to be critical of us. It's a very human thing. But I feel that God has put this on my heart this week to simply share with us that this is what we need to be doing. Don't question God. God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. He's already said we're going to have trouble, so don't be surprised. No, our reaction is, Lord, not where are you, but where am I? Am I in that place where I turn to you? Not where is God in trouble, but where am I? Am I in that place where I turn to the Lord, position myself under his refuge, run into the name of the Lord, declare his name? You know, David, throughout the Psalms, we've read a couple of them just now, David declares the goodness of the Lord. And sometimes we've got to do that. Sometimes we've got to take hold of ourselves and absolutely declare the goodness of the Lord into a situation. Even though sometimes when your heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So declare him as your rock. Declare the name of the Lord. Declare the goodness of the Lord. Declare the mercy of the Lord. Declare some of the scriptures that we've read. And as I say, so many of the Psalms list some of those declarations that we can use. And so this is the first point I wanted to raise of two in this short message. The name of the Lord is our refuge. When trouble comes, the name of the Lord is our refuge. So where do we run? We run to him, don't we? We declare his goodness. He is our defense. The name of the Lord is our refuge. And secondly, and I'm going to kind of run these into each other really, when trouble comes, when we've got ourselves into that place where we're declaring the name of the Lord, where we're taking refuge in him, where we're trusting in him, and just, you know, asking God to move in our situation, it's at that point we can turn that defense into attack. Now, you probably know I can't say I'm a supporter, but I like Manchester United, having lived there. I can't really declare myself a football fan, but I do enjoy a good game of football. And especially when there's a team that's been under the cosh and they're, you know, looking to hang on, if you like, and then suddenly there's a break and they're going for it and they suddenly run up the other end of the field and they score a goal. And they turn defence into attack, just like that. And it's great to see. It's great to see that. And you know, for us, I know that's a silly illustration, but for us, when we are under the cosh, when we are in trouble, we can turn defence into attack. And it has been touched on already this morning. So let me just pursue that thought. When we know that place of defence, that place of refuge, that secret place in the presence of God, then we can turn defence into attack. And what do I mean by attack? Well, let me read a scripture that John already read to us this morning. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I'm going to read two or three more passages. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the passage about being strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now in that list there in Ephesians, it's all defensive stuff, isn't it? It's the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate, etc., etc., the feet shod. But there's one offensive weapon in there, and it's this sword of the Spirit. And what is the sword of the Spirit? It is the word of God. Taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let me also read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And God has given us the sword of the Spirit. And as we learn to use that sword of the Spirit, spiritually speaking, so we can be on the offensive in God. We can turn defense into attack. And that's a skill, a spiritual skill, that I think we all have to continue learning. But you know, God will give us a word if we seek him for a word. If we seek his face, he will give us a word for a situation. And it's the word of God in the anointing of the Holy Spirit that can bring a change in the heavenly realms. We're not talking about physical fighting. We're not talking about enemies that we can see and touch and feel. We're talking about strongholds. And sometimes God would have us come up against a stronghold or a power or a situation and declare the word of the Lord. Learn to wield the sword of the Spirit. Because if the name of the Lord is our refuge, the word of God is our weapon. The word of the Lord is our weapon to turn defense into attack. And we can use the word of God proactively. We need to use the word of God proactively. And, you know, I believe God will give us a rhema word. You say, what's a rhema word? Well, when we read the word in the New Testament, it's actually two words. One is logos, or logos, and the other is rhema. And logos is the whole word of God. It's the whole expression of the word of God, including the Lord Jesus. He is called the word of God, logos. That's the Greek word used there. But God can speak a specific word into a specific situation, and he does that through his Holy Spirit. And that word has to comply with the logos. It's never going to be in conflict. So if somebody tells you that God's telling them to do something that clearly conflicts with Scripture, then it's not God. It's somebody else. But God can give us a spoken word, a rhema word, into a situation. And I kind of like to think of it as, it's as if God activates a particular promise or a particular Scripture for a particular situation. And many of us probably know this experience. Bless the Lord that this week, I believe God gave me a word for Joseph. And we prayed into that when we were with them. And I believe God wants us to receive a word for any given situation. And use that word as we pray into it. Ask the Lord to fulfill his word. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, send your word, don't we? And heal. Well, this is what we're talking about. Send your word. What is God saying in this specific situation? I'll give you one example, and then we're moving on to a biblical example, and then we'll close. I've mentioned this example before, and the reason why I use it is because it's so clear and quite descriptive. So back in the 1990s, it would be, at Pasture Street, we had a phase where the prayer meetings, as we used to say, they were rocking. They were rocking. We used to have some wonderful prayer meetings. And this particular prayer meeting, and it was Joseph, actually, that had said he felt God was indignant the fact that three or four doors down the road was a spiritualist shop selling occult material, okay? And he said, let's call on the Lord as a prayer meeting for a word and ask God for a rhema word for this situation. So we did. And as a congregation, just like this, we started praying into this. And it was, I think it was Mary Campbell, little old lady with white hair, who stood up with a rhema word from God. Praise God for little old ladies who will stand on the word of God. Amen. Praise God for everybody. But the reason for saying that is that God will use all of us. He will use us. We're not too old for the kingdom of God. And Mary said she felt God had given her, put on her heart, the passage where Jesus withered. He cursed the fig tree because there was no fruit on it. And he said, may you never bear fruit again. And it withered. And the disciples saw it. And there was that withering aspect of it. And so I think Joseph took the lead, obviously, and he said, we believe this is from God, let's pray into it. And so we literally just prayed into that and rejoiced and moved on to something else. 2 weeks later, that shop shut. 2 weeks later, the shop shut. And it had been there a long time, but it shut 2 weeks later. And I just think that that is a clear example of us as a congregation waiting on the Lord, God giving us a word, praying into that word, and then we're seeing a result from that. It also triggered some intense spiritual persecution, which those who were around at the time will remember. And it really was intense, and it really was an experience. But God was in it for us. I want to give you another example from the Bible now. So if you'd like to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Familiar story. And we're going to close with these thoughts. I'll come back to David again. When trouble comes, well, this was trouble. This was trouble. David and his men had been out fighting. Leave that circumstance separate. But let's turn to 1 Samuel 30, verse 1. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag. That was a place. On the third day of travelling, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked the town and burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and those who were there from great to small. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So in other words, David and his men had gone off to war, left women and children at home. And while they were away, another enemy came, attacked the place, carried their women and children off captive. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept, until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters. Here we go. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So he had as much reason as anybody to be going, woe is me, what's gone on, where is God? But he didn't say that. He sought the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He made his declarations. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? Now, it's amazing. In all of this pressure, this panic, this threat of being stoned by his own men because they were so upset, David inquired of the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He inquired of the Lord. He went to God and he asked God, what should he do? Well, he kind of said, shall I go after them, Lord? Maybe that was his own idea of what he wanted to do, but he checked it first with God. Is that what you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David had a rhema word from God, and he stood on that word, and he went and pursued and recovered all. You can read more detail around that yourselves. Puts me in mind of Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word, O Lord, is a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. When we get a word from God in our trouble, it opens up a light. And I've got to say, when we went to see Joseph and Elaine on Monday, and I just felt God had triggered that scripture in my mind from Psalm 41. And when we read it, it's kind of like a light went on with Joseph and Elaine and us. And we just kind of said, yes, we witnessed that this was from God and we prayed into it. It was, for information, it was Psalm 41, verses 1 to 3. Could read it another time. And the word of the Lord will bring light into our trouble, because trouble is dark. God wants us to walk in the light, and his word is light. So when trouble comes, the name of the Lord is our refuge, and the word of the Lord is our weapon. Amen. Entrust that to us all, because we're all going to walk through trouble of some kind from this day forward. We need to know what to do when we're in trouble. So when trouble comes, where do we turn? We turn to the Lord. Amen. Let's just pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you for these simple thoughts this morning. Thank you, Lord, though, for the truth of your word. Thank you for the example we have of King David, Lord, who, though in a terrible time of trouble, Lord, sought your face and acted upon your word. Lord, teach us, I pray, first of all, to run into the name of the Lord, which is a strong tower when trouble comes. Lord, teach us, Lord, to find our place of refuge and defense in you. And Lord, then help us to learn how to wield that sword of the Spirit, that we may apply your word in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not in any silly way or not in any selfish way, but in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to apply your word, Lord, and, Lord, to stand on that. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your name is our refuge and your word is our weapon. In Jesus' name, amen.